Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow. You can count on powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience, like Resicor, SureStart 2, Keystone LA NXT, or Realm Q herbicides, so you can control grass and broadleaf weeds while focusing on yield and power on. Learn more at poweroverweeds.com/power. See your favorite crop protection retailer for more information. Always read and follow all label directions.
Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. As promised, here he is. He is the director of USDA Midwest Climate Hub. And we always got to say this for our South Dakota friends, the former South Dakota climatologist, Dennis Toddy. How are you today, Dennis?
I'm outstanding. How are you folks doing up there?
Well, we were outstanding this morning. It was 32 to 34 degrees, even up in Langdon around Lake of the Woods. And you were in the 20s there around Ames this morning, weren't you?
You just like to rub that in, don't you, that you were warmer than us down here further south.
Well, any opportunity for the Dakotas to rub in the I states, that's what, we will take it for sure. So, but otherwise, during our big cold snap when we were 30 and 40 below up here, how cold did it get in Iowa?
We were obviously better than you were. I think we only hit in the low 20s, minus 20s down here, which when you're talking that kind of number, it's really kind of funny. But that was pretty common. Central Plains over to the Midwest, reaching to the minus 20s in our area. So the temperatures modified a little bit by the time they reached here, but either way, it was still awfully cold. And that was the kind of interesting thing about that whole event, is that it's a little bit late in the season, but we're susceptible to big cold this time of year, even into late February, early March. But the biggest event part of that was not as much in the Northern Plains or Midwest. It was the Southern Plains, because of how cold that air was, making it all the way down into the Southern Plains and hanging out there for a period of time. That was the real part of this event. Yeah, we throw minus 30s around all the time. The other part about that, too, is you folks up there, if you start looking at the number of times you were below zero so far this winter before that event, we'd had a relatively mild winter overall. And then we just had that, a few-week period there just to remind us that, yes, winter does still happen up here.
And now we're back to our warmer-than-average winter, which I guess is a good thing, but it's also drier than average. So, Dennis, the question is, as we turn the calendar page to March on Monday, meteorological spring, I know all of the updated National Weather Service outlooks are for warmer than normal all the way up into central South Dakota, southern Minnesota, maybe drier than normal. What's your thoughts?
That is definitely something that we're being concerned about right now. You folks may be far enough north where the issues may not be too large. The problem is, you mentioned you've been somewhat dry, and that's a fairly common thing in the Dakotas, parts of Minnesota. And right now we're not seeing things that say we're going to get too much wetter at this point. I'm not saying drought's going to be a big problem this year, but I am concerned about at least some dryness continuing with us this way. We'd like to see some wetter than average. We'll still get some spring rains. We expect that to happen at around this time of year. But I am concerned about this chronic dryness kind of sticking around with us here. There's some pluses to this, compared to some years, last 2 years for you folks, where you've had a lot of delays in planting. I don't foresee, delay problems this year. Soil should warm up relatively quickly and should be dry enough for field access, so that there's that going for us. But we are going to, I think, have some problems going on that we need to have some rains coming regularly, getting us through our growing season this year.
I guess we could delay the harvest. Last year the corn didn't get combined, should have been combined in October. Some didn't get combined until June. I guess if we delay the corn harvest, that's okay. But delaying the corn planting by 3 to 6 months, that just won't work.
No, that doesn't work very well.
No. So is this all this drier than normal, warmer than normal that is being forecast for much of the U.S., is this a function of sea surface temperatures, or are there bigger or other dynamics at work?
Well, I mean, there's always a bunch of things that come into play when we talk about this. You're talking about sea surface temperatures. We're talking about La Nina and the Pacific. La Nina has a part of this to play. The La Nina didn't behave itself or didn't act quite like we expected it to throughout the winter. We would expect it some colder throughout the winter. We finally got it towards the end. But I think La Nina is part of the effect we're dealing with here. So now that's going to hang with us this spring. It looks like it's going to weaken through the summertime, and that's a good thing because La Ninas during the summertime do increase our drought risk. La Nina may come back with us again as later in the fall or into next winter. So there are a number of different pieces here that lead me to have some concern about drought ongoing this year. Again, I'm not expecting major drought issues, but there's enough different risk factors, starting off with dry soils, you know, not seeing patterns starting to get more active like we see them yet, and then, you know, looking at previous years where we've had La Nina's weakening, we do have some concerns about dryness issues continuing with us. So that would be my recommendation for folks is to definitely start thinking seriously about that. I know North Dakota Extension has been doing some things on rangeland, definitely looking at rangeland and some of their planning with stocking rates. But even row crop folks should be thinking about, you know, is there some things that I can do to try to deal with some of the dryness if it should continue?
You know, Dennis, they say that a recession is when your neighbor loses your job and a depression is when you lose your job. So the economic analogy over to weather is, a drought is, you know, if they got a drought in Kansas and Oklahoma and, hey, even Iowa, Illinois, about like back in 2012. But are you talking widespread 1988 drought that might, you know, just burn up the crops and no reason to even combine? Or is it going to be spotty?
Well, you know, right now we're not seeing anything that would indicate widespread problems. You mentioned a 1988 or 2012. I'm not being concerned about it to that level, because kind of from our area in central Iowa and further to the east, we don't have as much dryness as we've had out in the plains, and it looks like the pattern will be a bit more active through the spring in our area and further to the east. So that would, and any dryness should be eliminated. And we're not excessively wet down here either for the most part, so planting should move along pretty well from what we can see at this point. So my bigger concerns are the plains area, you know, western Iowa, parts of Minnesota, out into the plains are the driest areas. So rangeland areas, wheat, you know, wheat, definitely winter wheat areas have been hit by drought and the cold, and some of the dryness areas. So what we don't think it's going to be a huge problem everywhere, more a focus on the plains and some area that way. Certainly, as we get along into summer, we have to keep track of who gets what rainfall, and we're at a point where we can't tell that very well at this point. So plains and into, you know, our area and west are the areas we're most concerned about right now.
Well, as things get back to normal, maybe it's just time to go to church and start praying for rain for the summer. That might be the biggest influence.
That can't hurt.
Yesterday, when the U.S. Drought Monitor maps came out, the big shocker to me was how dry it is in northwest Iowa and southeast South Dakota. Some of the most expensive corn ground in the country is as dry as Nevada and Utah.
You know, and that's a carryover from last year, that we got very dry. And we started off the growing season, we turned dry at the start of the growing season. That was a good thing because we came in with very wet soils. We were very concerned about getting in the field. But that dryness continued throughout the summer and into the fall. So, you know, we kind of eked our way through on the way of crops, but we've really depleted the soil moisture in that area and didn't get a whole lot of precipitation in the fall. And then we did get some snow in the wintertime, but wintertime snow doesn't do a whole lot to help recharge soil moisture, because if you look especially in northwest Iowa, we still have frozen ground, so we've got snow melting off frozen ground. And you're right, if you look at the U.S. Drought Monitor, lots of D2 severe drought and D3 extreme droughts. If you look at the U.S. Drought Monitor, there's a D4, and there's D4 out in the west, but nothing up in our area just yet. So we do have some concerns ongoing in far northwest Iowa, far southeast South Dakota, that we really need to get something happening in that area.
Well, March is always full of surprises. Let's hope for a little wet surprise from Mother Nature. So,
Dennis? Most definitely. I mean, spring does happen. Spring precipitation will happen some. We just need a little bit more than we don't usually like.
For sure. Dennis Toddy, the director of USDA's Midwest Climate Hub there in Ames. Thank you very much for the visit. We're thinking spring, so I had to give you a call.
Oh, happy to talk about spring. It's always a good time of year to feel it warming up again.
For sure. Thank you much, Dennis. Have a great weekend and a good spring.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.